Thou art the glory of Jerusalem, thou art the joy of Israel, thou art the honor of our people. These words are taken from the Old Testament book of Judith, chapter 15. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today, my dear friends, as you know, we celebrate the birth of our beloved nation. It was during the night of July 4th, 1776, that the final draft of the Declaration of Independence was drawn up and approved by Congress. And thus it was that the American colonists declared themselves free of the tyrannical rule of England. Today, then, we celebrate that joyous event, even as we honor the American patriots who worked so hard and who fought so bravely to make America the great nation she became. A patriot, according to one dictionary, is a person who vigorously supports his country and is prepared to defend it against its enemies or detractors. In other words, a patriot is one who backs his country by word and deed, as well as by prayer and sacrifice, and who is ready and willing to take a stand against the enemies of his country. Nations of all times have had patriots. Men and women who have stepped up, for their people and their nation. And on this Independence Day, I would like to tell you about one in particular. She was a patriot of the Israelite nation. And were it not for this holy woman's heroic courage, as one author points out, the entire Jewish nation, God's chosen people, would have been utterly destroyed. The woman's name was Judith, and she lived about 690 years before the birth of our divine Savior. At her time, the Israelites were in danger of being utterly destroyed by a pagan nation called the Assyrians. The Israelite city of Bethulia was threatened by the Assyrian general named Holofernes and about 132,000 troops. In fact, Bethulia was the last line of defense before the Israelite capital city of Jerusalem. And thus, if Bethulia fell to the Assyrians, Jerusalem and the Holy Temple would have been destroyed. Now, while the Israelites were terrified at the prospect of war, they nonetheless had confidence in God and were prepared to defend their city. They fervently besought God. They armed themselves, and they prepared to fight to the death. Holofernes, however, had something else in mind. He was not going to just attack the city that was defended and in which troops were prepared to fight. He had a better plan. Before any attack would be made, he gave orders that Bethulia's water supply be cut off. He then ordered his army to camp around the city, so that the Israelites could not escape. Well, after a few days, the Israelites realized what was happening, and they began to panic. Soon they even began considering a surrender, for they deemed it better to be taken into captivity than to die of thirst. The leaders of Bethulia therefore decided that if help did not come in 5 days, they would surrender to their enemies. Now, Judith was a citizen of Bethulia. She was a young widow who was known for her great wealth and her remarkable beauty, but was also known for her piety and for her love of God. And when she heard that the leaders were planning to surrender, she went to them and she rebuked them. She rebuked them for their lack of confidence in Almighty God. Judith then told the leaders of the city that she would prove that God was with them. And strange as it may seem, even though they had absolutely no idea what Judith had in mind, the rulers of Bethulia placed their hope and their confidence in her, this young woman. Soon after meeting with the leaders, Judith returned to her home and she prayed that God would strengthen her for the dangerous task she was about to undertake. Then, putting on her finest clothes and richest jewelry, she sneaked out of the city with one of her maidservants, and she headed towards the Assyrian camp. There she asked to speak to the general, and she was immediately taken to the tent of Holofernes. When Holofernes saw her, he was stunned by her absolute beauty. He was stunned. And he readily listened to all she had to say. Judith explained to him in so many words that she and her maid had fled Bethulia out of fear that when the city fell, they would be in danger. And she sought to escape the cruelty of the Assyrians. Holofernes listened patiently as she explained herself, and hearing her words, he was moved to compassion. He therefore commanded that a tent be given to her and her maidservant, and he permitted Judith to come and go as she pleased. A few nights later, Holofernes held a magnificent banquet for the officers of his army, and he invited Judith to come as well. At the feast, Holofernes drank so much wine that he fell into a deep sleep. Seeing this, Judith knew that the time to act had come. And so as soon as all the guests had left the feast, she knelt down and she began to pray for strength. Then rising to her feet, she quietly picked up the sword of Holofernes, and with two swings, she cut off his head. Judith then quickly put the severed head into a bag, and she hurried back to Bethulia with her maid. The Israelites welcomed her with great joy, joy which turned to cries of exultation when they saw the head of Holofernes. And so at first light the next morning, the Israelites, inspired with a renewed courage, attacked the Assyrian army. And the Assyrians, finding their general dead, fled in panic. It was thus through the hands of a woman that God saved his chosen people from their enemies. And for the rest of her life, Judith was respected as the most valiant of all men and women in Israel. "Thou art the glory of Jerusalem," it was said of her. "Thou art the joy of Israel. Thou art the honor of our people." Judith, my dear friends, was truly a patriot. She was, in a certain sense, to the Israelites, what George Washington is to Americans. Were it not for Judith, the Israelites would have ceased to be. And were it not for George Washington, as many historians do believe, there would not have been a United States of America. For without George Washington, certain historians tell us, the war for independence would have most likely been lost, and the American Revolution would have failed. And where would we be today? "No other patriot," writes one author, "in or out of uniform, matched the combination of attributes Washington brought to the revolutionary cause. And no other patriot could have made so many critical decisions on behalf of the war effort." Without Thomas Jefferson, the author concludes, there still would have been a Declaration of Independence. But without George Washington, the Continental Army would not have survived. And without the army, the revolution would have failed. Today, my dear friends, the United States of America needs patriots like Judith and George Washington. For today, we face a far greater oppression than Judith faced with the Israelites against the Assyrians. And we face a far greater tyranny than George Washington and our founding fathers faced against the British. The tyranny we face is not that of another nation or country. The tyranny we face today is the tyranny of hell. Today, Satan and his agents in our government and our country are working, and working very hard at that, to utterly destroy the great nation that America once was. The nation that was founded, as George Washington himself said in his farewell address, on two things, on religion and on morality. Religion and morality, Washington said, are the indispensable support for American prosperity. And without them, without religion and morality as a foundation, America will not prosper. Rather, it will crumble as a house that is built on sand. And it is this essential foundation, my dear friends, that is being attacked today, religion and morality. All hell, as it were, has been loose against the United States. And Americans, I would say, for the most part, have looked the other way. Sadly, many cannot be bothered with the state of moral depravity in our country. Countless others have turned their backs on God. And as Bishop Kelly once put it, the government of the United States has raised its fist, as it were, to God's face with its immoral and unjust laws, laws that sanction vice and immorality. And as a result, American society has sunk lower and lower into the depths of degradation. Indeed, it is a very sad and serious situation in our country. For the water supply, so to speak, that is the life-giving waters of religion and morality, have been cut off. They have been cut off by the devil and his agents in our country. And as the Bethulians at the time of Judith were in danger of dying of thirst, so too are the American people in danger of a spiritual and a moral thirst. And America herself is in danger of crumbling. We must be convinced, my dear friends, as the leaders of Bethulia were, that only through the hands of a woman will America return to the great nation she once was. Not through politicians, through the hands of a woman. That only through the hands of the greatest and most blessed of all women can our country be saved. That through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the enemies of the United States will be scattered. Like Judith, Our Lady has a plan that we do not know about. And thus, we must trust her. We must trust Our Lady as the Bethulians trusted Judith. And we must have the utmost confidence that Our Lady will bring us out of the situation that we are living in. For the United States of America is her country. It belongs to her. You may recall that on May 13, 1846, 22 U.S. bishops gathered in Baltimore for a provincial council. And there they solemnly placed our country under the protection of Our Lady, under the title of her Immaculate Conception. That is, they named the Blessed Virgin Mary the patroness of the United States. Ireland has St. Patrick for its special patron. Spain has St. James the Apostle. England has St. George, and Germany has St. Boniface. But the United States does not have an apostle or a martyr. The United States has the very Mother of God. And she is prepared as the holy woman Judith. Our Lady is prepared to go to war with the powers of hell for our country if Americans will but go to her on behalf of the United States. And you know, I really do believe that Our Lady has heard the prayers of Americans. I really do believe it. and that she has, in a certain sense, given a period of reprieve to our country. I say this especially in light of the recent anti-abortion laws that have been passed in our country in a number of states in the recent months. It would seem that pro-life politicians and lawmakers are finally beginning to take a stand. And this is certainly proof that America can return to the country it once was, a country founded on religion and morality. Even the results of the last presidential election, they show that there are people who care for this country and who share the same American values that we do. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that we are living in a rather pivotal time in regard to the history of our country. A time which, like the war for independence, could very well shape the future of America. It may be a long road, but if we do our part and we inspire others to do theirs, America can return to the solid Christian principles on which she was founded. Let us then, my dear friends, be the patriots our country needs. Let us practice the virtue of patriotism to a heroic degree, not only on the 4th of July today, but throughout the year. And let us look to the red, white, and blue of our American flag to show us the way. Red symbolizes valor and sacrifice. Let us fight for the United States then by our prayers and our sacrifices. Let us offer up the little trials and difficulties we face each day for our nation and its citizens, for our president, for our government. To some, this may seem trivial, but Our Lady of Fatima did say that many souls go to hell because there is no one to pray for them or sacrifice for them. Let us therefore do what we can for American citizens and for our government. The color white signifies purity and virtue. Let us endeavor each day to be good Catholic Americans by striving to practice purity according to our state in life and by advancing in the practice of virtue each day, especially charity, patience, and meekness. And finally, the blue in the American flag is also the special color of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Devotion to the Immaculate Patroness of our country is indispensable for Catholic Americans. It is essential not only for the well-being of America, but it is also essential for the salvation of our soul. Let us then wear her brown scapular faithfully. Let us make the five first Saturdays of reparation to her Immaculate Heart, if you have them available in your chapel. And let us pray the rosary every day as Our Lady pleaded with us to do at Fatima. Pray that our Heavenly Mother will protect and guide the United States of America. Pray for our president and our leaders, that they will once again uphold Christian morality and belief in God. And pray that God will have mercy on our country, which deserves the severity of his judgment. For in this day and age, while so many Americans are looking the other way, if we don't pray for our country, who will? If ever there was a time, my dear friends, which called for Catholic Americans to stand up and be counted, to profess their faith publicly, to defend it courageously, and to pray fervently for their country, I believe that time is now. For how desperate is the need today for true Catholic patriots, patriots who will fight against the tyranny of the devil and his agents in the world, not only by words, but by prayer and sacrifice, by devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. May Our Lady cover America with her mantle of maternal protection. And as Judith cut off the head of Holofernes and secured victory for the Israelites, may Our Lady sever the head of Satan once and for all and drive him and his agents from our beloved nation, so that she who is truly the glory of the United States, the joy of America, and the honor of our people, that she may once again reign in her land and in our land, that she may reign as queen in the United States of America. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.